Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Big hits, big laughs, no fail. My fortune is chaos here. Nick and Ronnie, make it liquor, yeah.
How's it, chums? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy, Ronald. How's it going over there, man?
No, it's going all right. I'm reading this intro, general chat intro that you have here, where you've said that you have a bit of a rugby hangover. So for a rugby podcaster, a person who likes to put out a lot of rugby content on the socials there and host this weekly show, you're telling me you're a little bit tired of rugby?
Not tired of rugby. And I know when you read the word hangover there, you were thinking, oh, well, he's been out partying all weekend. I'm hoping you're going to tell us
I know your age. I know you're not partying. At most, you decided to have two cups of coffee on a Saturday morning.
Well, you can let us live vicariously through you then, Ronnie, and tell us your stories of mayhem. But it's very hard for me to now switch back into the irk mode, you know, watching the URC games after watching the Six Nations. It's a bit of a like anti-climax because it's also not the biggest fixtures. I suppose Cardiff versus Bulls was quite big, but over and all, it wasn't the fixtures that sort of make you say, I have to sit in front of the TV now. And for me, it's just another sign that we have to get on this global calendar. It's too disruptive breaking the season up like that. You forget where everyone was and the momentum that they had. And
yeah, I must say the long season breaks are a bit difficult. You miss the days of Super Rugby where it was just, you know, 12 continuous rounds or 14 continuous rounds with a bye week here and there. And, you know, every fixture for us was fantastic because we were going up against the Hurricanes and Chiefs and these big names. And some days we'd like to go, it's difficult to compare Cardiff versus, you know, even Reds or something like that. So I feel you, but I don't know.
I definitely miss those Friday morning games when we used to go have like a breakfast at Drawson and watch the rugby. I'm not such a fan of these late night Friday and Saturday games.
Of course, when we were studying as a priority first, and if we didn't have class, we would go and do that. Like, that's what you
mean. Yeah, let's pretend that was the order of events over there, hey, Ronald.
Exactly.
So tell us, you living up the student life or the hybrid student life now? Did you go partying this weekend? Do you have a hangover?
Yeah, you know, you get to this age of this side of 24 years old, your bubble lust tends to last a bit longer. And, you know, I was in Paris last weekend, so I took it easy this one, you know, because yeah, it's the right thing to do.
I love that you leave the range there, Ronnie. This side of 24, it could be 25 or it could be 80. But we all know you're there in the mid-40s, so that's okay for the listeners. Ronnie, before we go on to the bulk of the show, I just want to give, you know, thoughts and prayers out to Ethan Hooker and his family. He lost his father during the week. That's a huge, huge loss. So we are thinking of you. Had Ethan on the show before. He's a great man, a great Springbok. And yeah, thinking of you all in this hard time.
Let's move on. Let's get into the show. But first things first, as we do every week, we like to thank the people that support us on Patreon or that support the content that the young Nick puts out there for us. So to go through the list again, this is the list in which they joined, right? This is not alphabetical, of course. This is the list, the order in which they joined, right, Nick?
That's absolutely correct.
Oh, fantastic. So we have a couple new additions, but Yuster, Fernando Lengert, Ian Weir, Amanda Geringer, Andre Meads, Kyle Preston, Leroy Daisel, Lawrence Taylor, and now Scott Turner also. Thanks, Jorms. Really. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you, Chorms, for helping us keep the show going for the full 80. We really, really appreciate your guys' support. For those tuning in every week, if you guys feel like you can help out a little bit, please check us out on Patreon. You get early access to the show. You get some merch for joining up. And on top of that, you get a bonus episode with guys like Chris Allison we had on the referee last. And you guys get early access to shows like that. Ronnie, over to the IRC then. The Bulls hosted Cardiff on Friday night at Loftus and got a 40-17 point win. Now, we must remember Cardiff are actually pretty decent in the IRC this season, so that's a good win for the Bulls. But even with that win, the Bulls are hanging on an eighth. Cardiff dropped to fifth. What do you think the Bulls are thinking at this point of the season? Not so many games left.
Yeah, there's not much. I bet they wish they could turn the clocks back and do some things differently. Some of the matches that I'd argue they should have won, they didn't win. And that's put pressure on them at this sort of business end of the season, or this now that we've come back out of it from the Six Nations break, we're heading into the next part of the tournament. And yeah, like you say, eighth position, that's risky business. You know, these guys can drop out with just one or two slip games and they're out. So yeah, it is unfortunate, but it's a convincing win over Cardiff, and you've mentioned there that Cardiff have put out a couple of good performances this season. So if I were the Bulls, I'd feel pretty chuffed.
Yeah, I think the Bulls will be happy that they're still in playoff contention based on how they started the season. But the crazy part is one of the sides that's targeting to knock the Bulls out of there is their South African brothers, the Sharks. You know, that's where the competition is really coming from. But yeah, Cardiff in fifth place, they're still very much in for the playoff berths. But yeah, Bulls hanging on by the skin of their teeth. What about Nizam Messi? Did you see that kick, Ronald?
Yeah, Nizam, that was fantastic. It's just one of those sort of afternoon after school playing on the rugby field, and then somebody hoofs the ball and something magical comes of it. So well done, Nizam. That was fantastic.
You know, they say the game of rugby was invented by William Webb Ellis when he picked up a soccer ball and ran with it. Well, here, Nizam went the other way. That ball was just sitting on the felt there, and he whacked it like he was going for a penalty straight into Aldrich's hands. Honestly, that was phenomenal. It's exactly like you say, some of the stupid things you try at practice, and this was one of those moments where it actually came off.
Let me ask you something. If you kicked a ball off the turf like that, how many hamstrings would you pull?
Well, considering I'm already in a knee brace at the moment, having just walked through my house, I'd probably pull them all and something else. My kid would pull one too for me. Ronnie, you know, the Bulls' concentration is still a bit of a problem. They only scored one try in the second half. It was their only points of that half. Really struggling to, you know, once they've got ahead, they seem to switch off. They weren't able to pile on the pressure. They weren't able to, you know, pull out further ahead. And the points difference is something they need to address. Do you think that's the coaching style, a leadership problem, or just, I don't know, what would you say is causing that issue in the Bulls camp?
Yeah, I don't know. This is the same issue that I have with the Sharks, right? So they are inconsistent. They're consistently inconsistent is the reality. They, for some weeks they go, they string together great performances, but then in performances like this one, they just can't seem to stick it out for the 80 minutes, right? So they have their slumps. But with that said, I think we as fans are the little couch coaches, and we think we know what we're talking about. You know, it's difficult to maintain and keep scoring and keep the scoreboard ticking over at a consistent rate for 80 minutes, right? They are going to see slumps in the game, but you're right. It seems to always dip in the second half. They seem to run out of steam. I don't know if that's a fitness issue. You know, they were playing at altitude, they're playing at Loftus, they're playing on their home turf, they should be used to it.
Yeah, they definitely should be. You know, the Bills got a bit of a hiding from the Stormers the week before, and we know that Imbro's Papir was ruled out shortly before kickoff. But for me, in this game, you could see the influence he had on that attack. The Bills' backline getting much quicker ball. They looked much more of a threat. Kirtley Arensa was also phenomenal. Give him an inch of space and he's going to take a mile. So I think they showed that that was missing a bit the week earlier. And depth is definitely something they're going to want to be addressing too.
Yeah, not the only one to talk up Imbro's Papier's praises. My father also said that this morning. But yes, he's knocking on that Springbok door. Right. And maybe he deserves his chance. And I'm sure Rassie will give him his chance.
Yeah. On papier, he looks solid for the box. Yes. I did make an Afrikaans joke. Give me credit.
Well done.
How great was it to see old Cameron Hanekom back from injury?
Excellent. I'm very happy to see Cameron Hanekom back. You know, him and Alric Lowe menaces and the loose forwards, right? So I'm excited to see Cameron sitting out. I mean, being on the sidelines for 1 year, it can go one of two ways. You know, he can come back stronger or he can, I don't know, unfortunately go the other way. And I'm keen to see him, you know, I'm keen to see him pick things up where he left off. And I want to see him in a Springbok jersey a lot this year.
Yeah, that guy has the ability to really shift bodies in the breakdown. You know, he gets through a lot of work. Probably also a huge contributing factor to the level of injuries that he's had over the last while. But hopefully with him and Ulrich playing side by side, you know, they won't have to go, you know, balls to the walls every week, and they can sort of save their bodies and be ready for Springbok call-ups as they come. Ronnie, over then to Ellis Park, where the Lions got a hellishly comprehensive 54-17 Edinburgh. Very impressive from the Lions, 8 tries to 3.
You know, the more I look at these scores, to score 54 points and with the Bulls as well against Cardiff and obviously in the game to come against, you know, the Sharks, these are huge scores. So attacking-wise, it seems like our South African sides are doing exceptionally well. So well done to the Lions. I think Edinburgh seemed to run out of steam a bit. I particularly enjoyed the content that was coming out of Edinburgh's camp. Bohan Venter teaching a couple of the boys a bit of Afrikaans. Very entertaining stuff, but I think it's hard to come to the Highveld. It's hard to come to Johannesburg and win a game there. And I'm very proud of the Lions and coming from an ex-Shark possible Bulls supporter.
Yeah, no, very, very well done to them. So, I mean, that sees the Lions up into 7th on the URC log and ahead of the Bulls, who we mentioned earlier were in 8th, whilst Edinburgh have dropped to 13th. So, you know, in terms of where they are in the log, you can sort of predict a similar scoreline, but can take nothing away from the Lions. 35-0 at halftime. I mean, that's emphatic from them. That was relentless. No internationals for the Scottish side, though. Do you think that had a big effect on them, or do you think the Lions really were just class in this game?
Yeah, you can make the argument for the Lions as well. They don't exactly have, you know, they're not bolstered by Springboks as well. So, you know, anyone that basically becomes a Springbok there gets poached by another union and plies his trade elsewhere. So it's just two club domestic sides, you know, that are quite strong. And yeah, I think it takes nothing away from the Lions' performance that Edinburgh didn't have their Scots players there.
Yeah, I suppose they have likes to rotate when you want.
Yeah, they had Bohan Venter, the name I mentioned earlier. And going up against anyone going against Bohan Venter is going to be a tough ask.
Yeah, I suppose there was a Springbok then. Bohan is obviously leaving to the Lions at the end of the season too. He'll be joining the Joburg franchise for the next Urk season. Ronnie, what about Morne van den Berg reaching his 100th cap for the Lions this week? That bloody blew my mind. I had no idea he'd been playing for them for that long.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there. That surprises me a bit that he hasn't been poached by a union. You know, well done to the Lions for keeping him there. But it just goes to show, every union we have is stacked with quality nines at the moment. So, yeah, he's a brilliant nine. 100 games, that's a lot of experience.
It's a lot of experience. He's fresh into the international scene, you know, not very well capped there, but got a hell of a lot of club experience with 100 games. And you say he hasn't been poached yet, but with Grant Williams leaving the Sharks, I wouldn't be surprised if Fishing Rod gets swung up the way of Ellis Park again for another one of their nines or tens. You know, we're very good at poaching those players.
Yeah.
Also, Henku van Wyk, he's starting to really build up ahead of steam again. He's looking to be back to his best. He was a phenomenal player when he broke through on the scene. unfortunately, injuries sort of damaged his or upset his momentum for a while, but he really, really looks good at the moment. He was in the Bok alignment camp. You know, do you think he's back in contention for the Springboks, Ronnie?
Yeah, I think, look, the numbers that they're calling about all the players involved in various alignment camps being 70, you know, there's no reason why he cannot be included at some point as well. Igwe van Wyk, I agree with you. When he came onto the scene, everyone was talking about him. But then, unfortunately, people forgot that he was around, and I forgot that he was around. But you're right. I think he's stepping it up again, and it's very exciting to see. And it's nice. As a Lions supporter, you're probably a little bit nervous. You know, you want your two players to play very well, but you don't want them to play too well that they get stolen.
Yeah.
Which is usually the case.
Bit of a catch-22 then. Yeah, Henku's actually the first player that I interviewed on the show a few years ago when he was breaking through at the Lions. So, yeah, really great to see him returning to form like that. What about Ruan Fenta, Ronnie? He wasn't set to start for the Lions, and then a late change was necessitated with him coming in. And bloody hell, did he play like a man possessed, eh? He was actually my man of the match in that fixture.
Yeah, I agree. Tough as... Moto Casino.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Nails, you know, quite versatile. Can play him in Lucy's, can play him if you have to at lock. You know, Russ has definitely got his eye on him because we've had some trouble once or twice now with depth in certain positions. And Ruan is a good utility that we can make use of. So I agree, he does play very, very well, and he's one of those reliable players week in, week out.
Absolutely. Then down to Durban at the coast, the Sharks were hosting Munster. Who can forget the last fixture between these two sides of the penalty shootout? Jaden's little wink. You know, a lot of jeopardy coming from these games, but Sharks having none of it and walking away massively 45-0 victors over Munster.
Yeah, huge performance that I didn't expect at all. You know, I've been very critical of the Sharks now for some time. It's been, let's say it's a couple of years now that the Sharks have disappointed me. And I've been very against them to the point where I did not see this coming at all. Number one, I did not see them beating Munster. Number two, I did not see them holding Munster to a fat zero. So what's going on with Munster? Or what's going on with the Sharks? Or is it JP Peterson? Are you going to now give me some opinion that you think JP Peterson is finally settling in?
No, I'm just going to ask you, you know, when we can have your South African ID and passport back, because I did notice that on Superbrew, you backed the foreign team and backed Munster to bloody beat the Sharks. Where's your
side? This is my point. No, number one, I did not have any faith in the Sharks, and I deserve to get called out for that. But number two, the Sharks have been like, come on. You said it like 2-3 weeks ago. You said it's really tough work being a Sharks fan.
When you used to lose to me all the time on Xbox and Jonah Lona Rugby Challenge, no, you always say you're only as good as your last game, and well, 45-0, my friend.
Okay, at least I will stick to what I say. When I'm critical of the Sharks, I remain critical of the Sharks. I jump around the app as a D like you do.
Please just continue not backing us, because like you said on the show last week, when you don't back us, normally the inverse is true. So I'm happy with that. You can stay as a fence operator, Bulls fan.
Wait, hang on. You're absolutely right. I did say that last week, right?
You did.
I did say that last week. Yeah. Okay. We have to remember this.
Ronnie, even with that emphatic win from the Sharks, they're still not in playoff contention. They're sitting at 11th on the log. They have a lot to do with very few games left to do it. I'm not convinced that they're going to make it into the playoffs. I don't know if you think they've got a couple more big performances in that are going to see them there.
No, you seem convinced that they can do it. They can put a string together big performances because they're very consistently fantastic. But no, I think it's just it's too far. It's too much to ask. So this is a prime opportunity now to experiment, right? So what is there to lose? So put in some of the youngsters, build some combinations, do some experimentation, start prepping for the next URC season. Number one. Number two, do whatever you can to win the games that would put our other South African teams ahead. You know, now we're playing for SA Rugby.
Yeah, fair enough there, Ronnie. So Munster after this game, they are in sixth on the log. I think a huge shout out must go to Mapimps for this one. It was his 100th game for the Sharks too. It's crazy to think he's on 100 for the Sharks and Krappies is on 100 for the Lions. And then you look at the length of career of each of them. I mean, obviously it's similar, but Mapimps feels like he's been there for way, way longer. And so lucky to see Mapimps score a try on his 100th.
Agreed. One of the elder statesmen now, eh? It's difficult. I struggle to see when I look at Mapimpi and think of him as an elder statesman in the side. It doesn't come naturally, but he is.
Yeah, no, it's true. Then Sia was supposed to get his 50th cap for the Sharks this week, but he was withdrawn before kickoff or earlier in the week, sorry, and he wasn't there to play. But Grant Williams getting man of the match after his Springbok enforced rest period. So great to see the boys coming out and looking a little bit more fresh at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. Couldn't agree more. Some exciting players that you mentioned there. Grant Williams, for one. He's probably one of my favorite players at the moment.
Yeah, Grant is phenomenal. The speed he plays the game at, I really, really enjoy watching him when he's starting on the pitch. Ronnie, then the South Africans were getting their brooms out the closet for a clean sweep over here when the Stormers took on the Dragons on Sunday. I haven't checked my Super Brew, but I'm pretty sure I was very cocky in the Stormers' favor. And very surprised when I saw this end score is only 29 points to 21. What do you think? Stormers happy or disappointed with that one?
No, look, you have to be happy with a win, but the fact that they let through, what is that, three tries? Yeah, against a side that you would argue is probably not as informed as some of the recent teams that the Stormers have played. But yeah, win's a win's a win. I don't care.
I mean, the Dragons had only won two games going into this fixture. So the Stormers, I was expecting them to sort of run riot here and, you know, really build up some points. I mean, the win does see them move back into second on the log. They sit behind Glasgow now, about 4 points adrift of them. But, you know, points difference is going to matter when the log gets tight in the last round. And I thought this would have been a nice game for them to sort of pad that stat. Not to be, though, and huge credit to the Dragons. The Dragons were dogged in defense. They were not letting up. I mean, two of the tries came from Sasha. He looks to be shaking off a bit of that captaincy burden now that it's been taken off of his shoulders and returning to his more flair-driven game. But yeah, I think the Stormers won't be so happy with a fixture like this and the result.
No, you're absolutely right. But good for the Dragons. It's a good first fixture, traveling all the way to Africa. So well done to them, you know.
You know, this stat, Ronnie, paints a bit of a different picture to what we spoke about in the Bulls game earlier. So the Stormers had 70% possession in the first half, but the score was only 14 points to 7. Now, it's the team that's second on the log playing the team that's 14th on the log, right? To me, it looks like the Stormers overplay. They need one or two of those players that are not flair, but just hard as nails, truck it up, you know, bring some structure back into the game so that the flair players can, you know, mix it up when they need to. But if it's all flair, balls are going to ground. We saw Damian Villipsa throw a pass to absolutely no one. How do you address something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it funny, though. You sound like my dad would, I think, probably agree with you there. He likes the traditional 10-man rugby with a bit of structure, track the ball up, you know, set it up for the next phase and then swing it wide. So, yeah, I do agree with you. When you have a couple too many, I don't know what the word is, like touch rugby-like players, you know, players that would destroy you on a touch rugby field with all their flair, then the team sometimes do struggle when things don't go their way. And then you start seeing wayward passes like Donny mentioned.
Yeah.
So, yes, you need a Damian Dalende.
Exactly. Someone that's just going to put in the hard yards, get it down, reset a ruck, and then, you know, you can take it from there again, recycle the ball. Great to see Dion Fleury. He was phenomenal in this. Now it's his second game back. You know, it'll take some time to get in full form. But for me, man of the match, he was phenomenal. He was stuck into everything, getting those steals again. I really wonder if he's going to get a look in from Rassi for this year.
I don't know if Rassi will look into him this year if he doesn't want to consider him for next year, right? So Dion has to answer the question. It would be a total waste to include him this year, but not for next year.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be interesting, but you can never put anything past Rassi, hey? You never ever know.
No.
Ronnie, then one fixture I just want to go over from the weekend is Glasgow versus Leinster. So yeah. This is a top-of-the-table clash that took place here. Franco Smith will be very happy with a 38-17 win over Leinster. They're now 8 points clear at the top of the log, which is impressive. They are having a hell of a season. But my best was what the Glasgow social media team did. And I don't know if you saw it. But they named their team without all the Scottish internationals. And some man by the name of Bob went off on there about how stupid the coaches are. We're throwing this game. Why can't the internationals play? Because it's Leinster. We need to beat them. We've just thrown away our URC season. And there goes Glasgow and posts that on their social media and says, "Hi, Bob, with the score."
Oh, well done. Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. I also want to say well done to Glasgow. That is something that I was completely shocked by. I didn't watch the game. I just saw the notification on my phone and I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, am I seeing this correctly? What's happening here? So, very well done to Glasgow, because that's not just a win. That's a club.
Yeah, it's a proper club. It's really impressive. I picked them to win by only 2 points. So to see them win,
but so it's a large score.
I did. Leinster then dropped
to fourth. The Super Brew performance is surprisingly good. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, Ronnie, you can learn from me if you just listen to me more on this show. And then Arthur Sneyman, he was involved in a big collision in this game, and he looks like he may be injured for a little bit now. Really hoping that the big man is not, in fact, seriously injured. He did walk off the pitch, but looked to be in quite a bit of discomfort.
Remember a long time ago when you used to say to me we had an iffy scale?
Yeah, your scale.
Because unfortunately, Arjes Neyman's one of those players. You know, he's injury prone.
But he's injury prone for club, like Peter Steph Du Toit. Peter Steph Du Toit's played one club game in like 3 years, but he doesn't miss a Springbok game.
This is true.
Yeah, Ronnie. Then we have more IRC action coming up next weekend. A full house of South African fixtures on the card. Starting with a Friday night 7 p.m. kickoff, Sharks hosting Cardiff. A lot on the line for Cardiff, who are now in fifth. Sharks obviously wanting to get into the top eight. Who's going to take this one?
Wait, we've spoken about this, right? So I've got to back Cardiff here, right? I'm going to say Cardiff are going to win.
There we go. Then
the opposite will happen.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So Cardiff's going to win.
Let's see there, Ronnie. Then over to Loftus. Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff. Bulls hosting Munster. Munster on the back of a big defeat at the weekend. Bulls will be happy of having overcome Cardiff. What are you expecting from this?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of a, you know, it'll be a challenging weekend for the Bulls, right? Munster will be hurting after that performance against the Sharks, so they'll maybe make a couple of strategic changes. But I think the Bulls could do it, and I think the Bulls will do it.
Yeah, I don't see Munster getting blanked on the scoreboard again, though, that's for sure.
That's damn sure. That would be a shame.
Then over to Ellis Park at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. The Lions are hosting the Dragons. What are we expecting out of that fixture?
Yeah, I think so. The Lions will be happy with this week, this past weekend's performance. So, you know, they'll look to continue that. I think that it's going to be a tough ask to go from, you know, nice windy Cape Town at sea level all the way up to the Eiffel. So, I'm going to be supporting the Lions here. I think that they'll take this quite comfortably.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see after the fight that the Dragons put up against the Stormers. They might go into this game with a little bit of confidence. And the weather here on the Highveld right now is kind of imitating Wales. It's rainy, wet, and cold. So maybe it's their comfort zone. Then 7 p.m. on Saturday night, Ronnie, Stormers, they are hosting Edinburgh down in Cape Town. That's a big fixture for the Stormers. If they want to try and chase Glasgow, they're going to need to topple the other Scottish side. I think the Stormers should win this one comfortably, though. What are you thinking?
I don't know about comfortably, right? So don't you think that Edinburgh would be a bigger challenge than the Dragons?
Well, I would have said so, but then the Lions pumped Edinburgh and the Stormers cuddled the Dragons.
Okay. No, I don't know about this one. I think this, let's, you know, we've got to back another clean sweep by the boys. And, you know, we can only assume that the Stormers will win this one, and we expect them to, because that's who we are, South Africans. But it'll be very, very difficult against Edinburgh because, like, you know, they'll also be hurting after their loss from this past weekend. So expect them to step it up and expect it to be a one-score game. Maybe, maybe a one-score game.
Okay, so you're expecting a bit of a tight one there. Then just from school rugby, there was a big win for Paul Roos. They beat Uffies 45-28 in Stellenbosch. It's been a long time since Uffies have gone down to play there. They normally meet in the Easter rugby festivals up this side. So good, good win for Paul Roos. They'll be happy with that. And then my absolute favorite thing that we have to say on the show, and I really think I've praised this specific player a number of times since we started, but good old Pantofel, James Slipper. He is going to reach his 100th cap for the Reds this weekend, Ronnie. And that's special because he's already got 100 caps for the Brumbies. So he will be the first player to have reached 100 caps for two separate clubs. Honestly, Pantofel, keep going, Chong.
He's already on 203. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, hey.
And that's where we'll leave it for this week. As always, plenty to agree with.
Plenty to disagree with.
And at least one take that's probably completely forked.
If you enjoyed the episode, do us a favor, share it with a mate.
Or send it to someone who's going to argue with you about it.
Get involved on the socials. Let us know where we're right.
And especially where Nick's wrong.
Remember to join us on Superbrew and support us on Patreon.
We'll be back next week and to do it all again.
Cheers, Chorms.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.